Today we look on the subject calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord. Let us have the passage read again from Romans 10:13.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Let us have it from Acts 2:21.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Let us have it from Acts 22:16.
And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord.
How are we saved? A person may say, well, there's no need to ask that question. Because going from what we know, members of the Lord's church, you would be tempted to repeat the initial plan of salvation as revealed in the Bible, and you would be correct. But then, because there are so many views out there in respect to how men and women are saved, the question is asked, how are we saved? The Bible tells us that we are saved by the word that is found in James chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible tells us that we are saved by faith that is found in many passages in the Bible that at least imply that. The Bible tells us that we are saved by the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 2, the Bible tells us that we are saved by hope. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. The Bible tells us that we are saved by grace. Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 3 and verse 5. The Bible tells us that we are saved by baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 21. The Bible tells us just now that we are saved by calling on the name of the Lord. But Brother Mitchell, you said the Bible. Yes. Isn't that confusing? Not really. Why? Because the Bible is not made up of just one statement. The Bible is not made up of one verse. For you or me to understand how one is saved, we have to read the entire gospel to get what it says and different aspect of the step to Jesus Christ. We are saved by calling on the name of the Lord. When we heard that for the first time in the New Testament, in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2 and verse 21, Peter was quoting from Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. So you see, way back in the Old Testament, the same thing was said, that if one call on the name of the Lord, that person is saved. In this lesson, we want to examine that expression, calling on the name of the Lord. We want to examine it, and thereby, as a result of examining it, come to a better understanding of the meaning of that expression, and how is one saved by calling on the name of the Lord. When we meet in worship, one of the essential activities of worship is permitting the Almighty God to speak to us through His Word. Because the Bible tells us that we should study the Word to show ourselves approved unto God. So better understanding in reference to anything the Bible teaches is essential to pleasing God. Now, calling on the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Now, many interpret these words or this expression to mean or as saying that you can pray for salvation. That is the meaning that so many thousands or millions of religious men and women get from that. That expression is telling you, when you want salvation, when you want forgiveness, just go pray to God and you get it. Calling on the name of the Lord. But of the four places this expression occurs in the Bible, none of these texts give you that idea that you can merely pray for salvation. The expression, as I said, is used in the book of Joel, chapter 2 and verse 32. The expression is used in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2 and verse 21. The expression is used in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22 and verse 16. The expression is used in the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 30. Of these four passages, none of the context in this passage give the idea that the text is telling you that you can merely pray and you get forgiveness, or that you get salvation. In fact, we are rather warned by Jesus Christ Himself against looking for forgiveness or salvation in merely calling upon His name. We are warned against that. Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23, let us hear it. Not everyone. Not everyone that saith unto me, we want some song.
Not everyone that saith unto me.
Yes, go on.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom.
Remember
of
where
heaven.
We are. That of the four places that the expression about calling on the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved occurs, none of these passages or the context give you the idea that it is telling you that forgiveness of sin or salvation is found merely on calling on Jesus or on God's name. Hear the Bible from the mouth of Jesus Christ is giving us the very opposite, telling us that merely calling upon Him, read, brother, read it again.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Mean, crying to Jesus Christ, Lord, Lord, praying to God, Lord, Lord, will not save us. But
he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
There is something else other than calling on his name that is required. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 and 47.
And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?
You get the drift there? It's no use calling on the name of the Lord if you do not do what he says. And men and women who think they can just go and pray and God will respond to them, Jesus Christ is saying to you, you must do what he says. In fact, read on.
Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings.
You see, this is it. Anyone who comes to me and
heareth my sayings.
Heareth my sayings.
And doeth them.
You know, I like that. Huh? You must not only hear it, you must do it. Now, this is coming from the context of merely calling upon him and think that will satisfy God. No, this passage is telling you, not only must you do what, brother?
Hear them.
Hear them.
But do them.
But do them.
Yes.
Read verse 47 again.
Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings.
Stop there. You see, brother, I need this word cometh to me. That's right. Because we are going to revisit that word again. Notice the context within which it is used here. You come, you hear, you do. Huh? In fact, let me put it in a little corner because I may talk so much today that I forget it. You come, you hear, you do. If I'm erasing it, just bawl me out and say, Brother Mitchell, no, erase it, a part of your sermon. That's right. When God planned man's salvation, when the Almighty God planned our forgiveness and salvation in Jesus Christ, in the eternal past, before the world was created, not only did the Almighty God plan our salvation in Jesus Christ and just leave it there, God tells us how to access that salvation. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? What we must do to get that salvation. And what we must do from God's revelation is beyond merely calling upon Jesus' name. Are we all there? God also include in his plan the terms and the conditions upon which we would be forgiven and be saved. Not just calling upon Jesus' name. What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? What does it mean? First, I repeat something I've just said because I need to say that many, many times. And that is, none of the texts in which that expression is found do we find any idea there that it was merely a verbal expression? Nowhere tells us that calling on the name of the Lord mean merely something we say from our mouth. None of the texts give that concept. It is not. Peter's audience in Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Now, and Saul in Acts 22, 16 did not so understand that expression. Brother Mitchell, say that again. When Peter spoke in Acts of the Apostle, in fact, Peter, the Holy Spirit in Peter, under this situation, we are going to hear the first gospel message preached in reality. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Peter, the Holy Spirit chose as Peter takes on which his message would rest. The Holy Spirit chose Joel 2:32. So we have Peter in verse 21 of Acts 2. Let us hear it.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Brother McFarlane, being saved is what the lesson is about. That's right. That's the bottom line there. The entire message of Peter will be to open the eyes, the understanding of this Jewish audience. And whatever he's going to say, it's about their getting forgiveness, getting salvation, and being in a right relationship with the Almighty God, being saved. That whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. May I? The same in Acts 22, 16. When Paul was being taught to become a Christian, where he was told, why wait? Get up and be baptized. And among the things says, calling on the name of the Lord. Watch here now. Neither Peter's audience, nor Saul, who became Paul, understood that statement to meaning that you just simply pray for salvation. Because you know what? Saul was praying. When the preacher met him, came on the street called Straight and met him, he was praying. And the preacher didn't say, continue praying, brother, until you get salvation. No. His prayer was interrupted. The Greek word, epikaliomia, or epikaliomai, means, one, to call on. It means to name. But watch here. It means to call on by turning toward the person that you're calling on and crying to that person. It means to turn. The Greek word epikaliomai means a person who stands in need of assistance, of help. And you know that there is a person around there. You turn to the person and you call to the person for help. That's what the word means. In fact, it means to appeal to. The very same word is used in the book of Acts of the Apostles 25:11-12. Look at the situation there. Look at the situation. The very same words, call on. Here you're going to see it means to appeal to. Let us hear it. Acts of the Apostles. Did I say 25:11-12? Quick.
For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of
that
death.
That is Saul, Paul speaking to the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin council. Now watch here now. He said, if I be an offender, if I've done wrong, he was being judged. Felix or Festus, whoever. If I've done wrong, what, brother?
Or have committed anything worthy of death.
Uh-huh.
I refuse not to die.
That's right. I am willing to die if I've done crime that call for that punishment. Read on.
But if there be none of these things.
Yes, but if I'm not guilty of any of these things.
Whereof these accuse me.
Whereof you have accused me.
No man may deliver me unto them.
No man going to deliver me to this audience who want to eat me up alive.
I appeal unto Caesar.
What, brother?
I appeal unto Caesar.
It's the same word, the very same Greek word, calling on. The name of, that same word. So at least this will give us an idea how the word is used. When Paul says he appealed to Caesar, what is the idea? He wants justice. And he is appealing. He wants to take his case to Caesar. Caesar will give him justice. It means to call on for help. But we are not through with the word. Because we are going to revisit one or two texts that we have already looked at. So at least you get an idea in respect to how the word call on the name of his uses is where a person is in need and you know of one who can help you and you call and you appeal to that person for help. Watch here in our case. We are dealing with our sin and salvation where Jesus Christ is the one who can help. Being saved, are we all there, comes from or comes about when the sinner turns to or appeals to Jesus Christ for help. Say that again, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for asking me. Being saved involves the sinner acknowledging that you are in a precarious, a perilous situation. And every sinner who have not turned, run to Jesus Christ for help is in that situation. If you are here today and if you have not come to Christ to be forgiven of your sin through faith, repentance and baptism, you are in a perilous situation. You notice how we are all concerned about this new disease, and every day a new one comes, eh? The world in which we live, nobody want to catch it. And if anybody coming from the Far East, in China, you don't want even to stay a mile close to them. You know why? We want to live. Huh? Death is danger to us. Even for us Christians, we want to live a little longer. Huh? Well, you see, brother, there is a greater danger than death. Because death is only a transition from one kind of life to another. That is from life in time to life in eternity. Be it in the eternal heaven or the eternal hell. But when we see that we are in danger because of sin, We turn to Jesus Christ. We call upon him. But watch here now. That calling upon him is not a verbal thing. It's not something you just say. We'll soon go back to Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. When Peter preached, of course, he had told them in verse 21 that this is how they're going to be saved, by calling on the name of the Lord. Well, he continued giving them some more necessary information. But when they reach verse 37, they ask a question. And that question is going to be directly related to their being or wanting to be saved. But I'll come to it more in a few seconds. Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, as I've said, being saved, comes about when the sinner turns to or appeal to Jesus Christ for help. This implies, watch here now, when a man or woman acknowledges his or her sinful condition. But Mr. Mitchell, you know, thank God that doesn't include me, because I'm a decent person, I'm a good person, I'm a kind person, I'm a peaceful person. You still need Christ. You are still a sinner. So when a man or woman recognizes that he or she is a sinner and Jesus Christ is the only one who can address that sin problem, that person turned to Christ. But that turning to Christ for help involves faith. Did I say involve faith? Yes. But you know what? And faith, watch me now. Faith involves being taught. Are we all there? And faith involves confession of Christ's name. Are we all there? And faith involves obedience. Brother Mitchell, give us book. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, 17. So turn also to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 26. Read. Romans 10.
So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Brother McFarley, what I've just said, you know, a few minutes ago, is that here I am explaining that the expression come or calling upon his name, it involves coming to Jesus Christ. And that coming to Jesus Christ involves faith. That's what I've said, huh? But notice something about faith. Read the passage again.
So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
You see, faith comes by hearing. Faith not just comes, so you not just get up and just believe, sir. You must hear God's truth to have the right type of faith. But faith involves some other thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 26. Verse 26. Huh?
It's at verse 24.
1 Corinthians 16.
Yes.
Let me hear 16, brother.
That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth.
Oh, sorry, brother. Why do I go on to Corinthians? It's really Romans 16. Because when you said it has only verse 24, I know the passage I want have more than 26 verses. Romans 16, 26, I think. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But now is made manifest.
Uh-huh.
And by
remember where we are, talking about some of the components of faith, some of the things that once genuine faith is there, those things have to also be in place. Let us hear it. So, faith involves hearing the truth of the gospel. Read on. But faith involves something else. Read.
But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God.
According to the commandment of the everlasting God.
Made known.
That commandment of the everlasting God. Wait, that is referring to the gospel and the condition laid down in the gospel. It is made known.
To all nations.
To all nations.
For the obedience.
For the obedience.
Of faith.
What comes out of faith. That's what the obedience of faith is. The obedience of faith, which means the obedience arising or being produced by your faith. So faith carries obedience. Yes. I can show some other thing that faith carries. Where are we? Coming to Jesus Christ. Calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. It involves faith. Faith involves hearing. Hearing involves being taught. And back to faith. Faith also involves obedience. So when we talk about the obedience, or rather coming to the law, it involves the obedience of faith. Notice that calling on the name of the Lord is part of the context of Romans 10, verse 10 following. Let us hear it. Let us hear it. Read from verse 9.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth.
Brother, let me do something here. Let me read me verse 13.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Okay, that's Romans 10, 13. No, brother. Read from verse 9 to verse 13, 14. Let us hear.
That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Mm-hmm.
For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that...
Look here, get this, brothers and sisters. It's the same context. Here, Paul is talking about confession. He's talking about faith or belief. Within the same context, he's talking about calling on the name of the Lord. All this is a part of calling on the name of the Lord. Faith, confession, these are preconditioned to baptism. That's right. Wait. He had dealt already with baptism in chapter 6. Remember at the time Paul wrote, he was not writing chapter 1 of Romans and chapter 2 and chapter 5. The book of Romans was just one letter. In verse 7, rather 6, he dealt with baptism and what it implies. And he explained some things in between. And then when he reached now to chapter 10, he's talking about man's salvation and how you get it. You must turn to Jesus Christ. And that the term calling upon the name of the Lord, that's what it means. To turn to God, to turn to Christ in faith. It's not a verbal thing. Turning to God involves faith or belief. It involves confession of Christ's name. All these are components, preconditioned to baptism. When a man truly believes, that person going to repent, that person going to confess faith in Christ, and that person going to be baptized when that person truly believes. Are we there? Calling on the name of the Lord without faith, repentance, and baptism is of no spiritual value to anybody. Brother Mitchell, how do I know that? Have you forgotten already when I put it here to remind you? Did you say a while ago? Calling on the name of the Lord. Go down on your knee fast. Calling on the name of the Lord as an alien sinner without it being followed by faith, genuine faith, repentance, confessing of Christ's name and baptism, that calling is of no spiritual value. Let me hear this again, brother. I think it is found in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 and 47.
And why call ye me, Lord, Lord?
Why call upon my name?
And do not the things which I say.
You see, that is what makes calling upon his name becomes meaningful. In fact, that is the concept of calling on his name. To do what he says. There's another passage I'm going to visit before the sermon finish that will definitely show that. Mm-hmm. Read, brother.
Whosoever cometh to me.
If you call on my name, because remember what the word epikaliomai meant? That is the word call upon. It means to call, to come to someone, to appeal to for help. Whosoever come
to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them.
You must come, you must hear, you must do, not just call. Are we all there? We are there.
May I? Any meaningful and effective calling upon Jesus' name or the name of the Lord must of necessity, I said must of necessity, include faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. Calling upon the name of the Lord has reference to appealing to Jesus Christ with a view to obeying him. Could you repeat that, Brother Mitchell? Thanks for asking me. Calling up on the name of the Lord, wherever you see it. Is it in Joel chapter 2, verse 32? Is it in the book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2, verse 21? Is it in the book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 22, verse 16? Is it in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 13? Wherever you see the expression calling upon the name of the Lord, it has to do with appealing to Jesus Christ with a view to obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ in its four primary steps. Those four primary steps is hearing, believing, or five, confessing, repenting, and get baptized. What did you say about that, Brother Mitchell? These are the four or five primary steps of calling on the name of the Lord. Peter took, I said it, and let me revisit now as we are wrapping up, that Peter took Joel chapter 2 and verse 32 as the text for his sermon on the day of Pentecost. That was no accident. That was directed by the Holy Spirit. Now, we go back again to verse 21. Mm-hmm. Acts 2. Acts 2, 21.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Now, they were told. So the message, all that Peter was saying here is about man's salvation and his immediate audience salvation in Jesus Christ whom they had crucified. It's being saved. They listened to the message. But remember, he up front in his lesson let them know that the message is about their salvation, being saved. When you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Notice now how they are going to understand this calling upon the name of the Lord. He preached, and he preached a good length sermon. They lived. They listen, and now they interrupt his sermon with a question. Verse 37.
Now, when they heard this.
When they heard this. Brother, the this include all the truth in that sermon, including calling upon the name of the Lord that will save them. When they heard this,
they were pricked in their heart
and
said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?
What shall we do? Watch here.
Then Peter.
Wait, brother, take time with me. They
should have bowed down on their knee and be praying if they understood calling on the name of the Lord to mean a verbal thing. But they didn't understand it to mean a verbal thing. They understood it to meaning that they have to do something about their salvation. So they asked, what shall we do? Remember, that means what must we do to be saved? And that is, in effect, they're asking, how do we call on the name of the Lord? Because he had just told them in verse 21 that they should call on the name of the Lord. Now they ask, what must we do? That is, what must we do to get the salvation that you get by calling on the name of the Lord? In other words, how do we call on the name of the Lord? Are we all there? Peter tell them, repent. But Brother Mitchell, how comes he didn't tell them to believe? Because the question they asked told Peter that they already believe. So now, after belief, they were told to repent and get baptized for the removal of their sin. That's how they are going to call on the name of the Lord. Now, it's important for you to understand, they did not bow down and pray. They did not interrupt Peter and say, Brother Peter, just a minute. We want to be saved. Let us pray to God. No! Because calling on the name of the Lord doesn't mean that. It means to turn to him in obedience to the gospel. That's exactly what it meant. In fact, may I? Romans, chapter 10, verse 13, is not saying any difference from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. That's right. For he that cometh to God must believe that, etc., etc. Calling on the name of the Lord means that you come to God. You turn to him for the help you need in dealing with your sin. You are willing to listen to whatever he asks you to do. Paul was told in Book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22 and verse 16, that you must arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. Did Paul do that? Yes. When? That very time that the preacher Ananias told him to call on the name of the Lord. But Brother Mitchell, after his prayer was interrupted, I didn't hear him praying. There's no indication that he prayed again. You are right. You see, calling on the name of the Lord doesn't have anything to do with necessarily with praying. It has to do with obeying. You turn, because the word calling there means you appeal to. Just like Paul appealed to Caesar. That means you turn to the person for help. And that means you come with faith. And you come with an attitude that you are willing to do whatever the person tells you to do for that help.